May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Let's start today with a passage from Luke. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. In the RSV, it says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. As I was praying and meditating on what we're going to be doing here today, it struck me that I am the Forrest Gump of priests. You already knew that, you know, I'm a bear of very little brains, but I came to my conclusion then that of the sacerdotal priests, I'm definitely the Forrest Gump. You know, the thing about Forrest was he was always in the right place at the right time. He didn't have any brains to do the things that he accomplished, but he was always, for example, the Watergate thing. He just happened to be at Watergate when the Watergate thing happened. And Hurricane Carmen, you know, he wasn't smart enough to get off of the Gulf, so he made it. None of the rest of the boats made it. And of course, you know, then he and Lieutenant Dan invested in that fruit company. Yeah. You know, yeah. Apple. And you know, he was fine from then on. He didn't even know what it was. Well, I'm not smart enough to know what to do as a priest, but God has strategically placed me in places where he's been able to do his work, and that's been really kind of cool. And so I've been in the right place at the right time to encounter our Lord. And
I thought you were going to tell us Jesus is like a box of chocolates.
And also, you know, I've made, over the last 36 years, I've made Solomon's Prayer my prayer. And if you aren't familiar with Solomon's Prayer, in chapter 3 of 1 Kings, Solomon prays, "Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David." And then he says, "But I am only a little child, and I do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" And I've made that my prayer over the years. And I'm not smart enough to know what needs to be done in the church, but just, you know, give me a heart to govern your people. And that's what I've been praying. And of course, when Bishop Bates was here a few weeks ago, you know, he was talking about Paul's credentials. And of course, Paul's credentials were that he was weak and, you know, he was always being torn down and beaten up and flogged and everything else. And in today's church, everybody would say, "Oh, well, I must not have the grace of God on him to have all these terrible things happen to him." No, that's not it. You know, he was weak so that God could be strong in him. Weakness is not a problem for me. Stupidity is not a problem for me. I'm good at both, really good at both. So, but I do believe that I need to be rightly positioned in order to be useful to God. And I believe that's true for every single one of us. We need to be rightly positioned. We need to be in the right place in order for God to be able to use us. And that's what I hear in this message. This past week in the Liturgy of the Hours, the lectionary that goes with the Liturgy of the Hours, we were reading about Caleb and the spies that went into the Promised Land. And in Numbers chapter 14, let me read to you what it says. In Numbers chapter 14, it says, "Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. We're small. But God can use what is small and insignificant to bring down the giants of the land. And I believe that if we're rightly positioned, God will use us to bring down all of the giants, not just, as it were, the people, but the giant problems of our day. God is greater than anything that can come against us if we are rightly positioned with him. We cannot go to the promised land, though, unless we all go in together. That was one of the messages out of that passage in Numbers is, you know, there were 10 who said, no, we can't go, we can't go, we can't go. And there was just Joshua and Caleb who said, yes, we can do this, we can do this. And it was the unbelieving hearts of those who did not want to go that kept them from making that progress. We need each other. We need to be of one heart and one mind within God's church. And so we need to be in right relationship with God, rightly positioned with him to hear his voice, to know his will, and then to be able to carry that out. And so when God speaks to us individually, it's not just so God is just speaking to Rachel and saying, this is what we need to do. Because whatever word is spoken to Rachel is part of the word to the whole body. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? So a personal word from the Lord has a corporate dimension to it. And the same thing is true. When God is speaking to us as a church, there's no one out there that's exempt from that word. It's a word for all of us. Are you with me? Does this make sense? I hope I'm making some sense here. So let's go back to this Luke passage, Luke chapter 12. If you will turn with me to Luke chapter 12. The verse that I read to you at the beginning was verse 32, but I want to back up a little bit to see the context of this word. In verse 22, it said, then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, the body more than clothes. Do not be anxious. Do not be afraid. Do not worry. How much do we hear that in the scriptures? Over and over again. We hear it because when we are in the Lord, there is nothing that can come against us that the Lord cannot conquer. Are you with me? Okay. And so do not be anxious. And so when we get to verse 32, Jesus says, do not be afraid, little flock. For your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He didn't say, it's my Father's will to give you the kingdom. He desires to give you the kingdom. He says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You hear that? It's not something that is desired. It's a reality. It's his good pleasure. He's just thrilled at having you receive the gift of the kingdom of God. He also didn't say, it's my Father's pleasure to watch you struggle and slave to try to earn the right to be in the kingdom. It's my Father's good pleasure to punish you when you do something really stupid. No, he doesn't say any of that. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. How awesome is that? Again, keeping with the context here, brothers and sisters, in verse 33, after he says this, he says, "Now sell all your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys." Now, sell all that you have. Is that literal? Maybe. Not necessarily. If God tells you to sell all you have, I strongly recommend you sell all that you have. It's a good thing to do. And actually, I'm not blowing my trumpet here, but there was a time when God told me to do that. He told me to sell everything that I had. Well, unfortunately, I had to have an automobile to go to and from work, but I sold everything else except for my waterbed and my car. It's what God told me to do. Now, there are times when I kind of go, ooh, I wish I still had some of those vinyl records. They probably are worth a fortune about right now. But anyway, oh well. But, you know, if it's not necessarily a literal sell all that you have. It is a matter of where are your priorities? Are your possessions possessing you? Are your possessions keeping you out of a right alignment with God? Where is your priority? Is your work of a higher priority than your worship? Is your income of a higher priority than your tithe? What is your priority here? What is your relationship with Jesus Christ? Make Him the priority. We heard this in the Old Testament lesson today in Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah is saying, "You are saying about this city, by the sword, famine, and plague, it will be handed over to the king of Babylon. But this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I will surely gather them from all the lands where I banished them in my furious anger and great wrath. I will bring them back to this place and let them live in safety. They will be my people. I will be their God." It's a matter of whose report are you going to believe? That's what happened with Caleb and Joshua. Whose report did the people believe? They believed the report of the 10, not the report of the 2. The people in Jeremiah's time believed the word that Babylon was going to be victorious instead of the word that Jeremiah the prophet was saying. No, God is still your God. Are we listening to the Lord? Whose report are you going to believe? But you've got to hear the report also. And that gets back to where are we? Are we rightly positioned to hear the voice of God? What does it mean to be rightly positioned? What does it mean to be in that right place? Think about it this way. If it's the Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom, then there is a gift there for you to receive. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to work for it. It's a gift. But you do have to receive it. So, God says, hey, it's your birthday. We're going to have a good time. Okay? I'm going to give you a gift. But you got to go to the palace to get the gift. You can't sit at home and wait for the king to come to your house to bring you the gift that he's promised to give you. You've got to go to where the Lord is. Are you with me? Okay. In the gospel today, where were the disciples?
Fishing.
Where?
Lake Galilee.
They were on Lake Galilee. Or the Sea of Galilee.
Basically.
The Sea of Tiberias. Okay, they were in Galilee. Why were they in Galilee?
Galileans.
Yeah.
They went home. Yeah.
Why did they go home?
They didn't know what else to do.
None of the above. Matthew chapter 26, verse 10. Jesus says to the women, go tell my disciples that I will see them in Galilee. Mark chapter 16, verse 7. Tell my disciples, I will see them. I will meet them in Galilee. They were rightly positioned because they had listened to the word of the Lord and they had gone to the place that God told them to go. And you know what? They met the Lord there. They were in the right place at the right time to have an encounter with Jesus. If they had stayed hidden in the upper room in Jerusalem, they would have missed it completely. They went where Jesus told them to go. You know, God has divine appointments for us, and we need to be alert to those opportunities and to be rightly positioned to encounter the Lord. Just the last two mornings, I normally get up sometime between 3 and 4 in the morning and do my morning prayers. But for whatever reason, the last two mornings, it's been 2:30. Now this morning, I got up at 2:30 and I was like, I'm never going to make it through a quiet day if I'm going to get up at 2:30 in the morning. I'm going to go to sleep. This is not good, Lord. And the Lord very clearly reminded me of what I'm about to preach. And I'm like, okay, it's a divine appointment. I guess I'd better get up. I wanted to go out to the gazebo, but oh, the heavens had opened at 2:30 in the morning, and there was no way I was going to make it out to the gazebo, so I sat on the couch. But anyway, it still was a divine appointment. And so, you've got to remember, too, that in this same passage in Luke, where he's talking about sell all that you have, and where it ends with, what it ends with is, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. And so, I want my treasure basket to be completely empty so that Christ can fill it with His treasure. And the only way I can do that is to continually be in communion with Christ, where He can say, Bill, why are you carrying this? You really ought to get rid of that. You're holding this animosity. You're holding this allegiance. You're holding this priority. Drop those. I've got something better for you. So we allow God to empty our basket that He may fill it with His treasure, with the things of His heart. And so I put myself in the place where the disciples were. And like the disciples. And you know, what was it? They went out on the lake, you remember? And they hauled in all these fish. Then they saw that it was Jesus on the shoreline, and so they came back. And did you notice? Jesus already had fish cooking. They were working really hard to catch all those fish. I wonder how Jesus got his fish. I wonder how he got his bread. You know, I think the Lord of all creation is capable of providing us with anything and everything we need. And we are so worried about all the things of this world. Jesus has already got all that. And He can take care of us. And so, my friends, today, we're going to have a quiet day. And I believe that this is a divine appointment. Just like my 2:30 wake-up call was a divine appointment. I believe, too, that God got me up at 2:30. He'll keep me awake through the hour of quiet, too.
And if He doesn't, He'll finish your prayer.
Thank you, Father. But I do believe that this is a divine appointment. I do believe that we are in the right place, and this is the right time. And so, I just encourage you, do not miss this. We are rightly positioned to receive what the Lord wants to give us. He's going to bring us treasure that comes right out of His treasure trove. And if we will empty our basket and allow Him to fill us, we will get the treasures that come from heaven. And I just can't think of anything better than that. I really can't. Don't miss this. This is a great opportunity for God to do something. And he's going to speak to you individually. I believe that with every fiber of my being. He's going to speak to each one of you individually. And whatever he's saying to you is going to be something for the whole body. But he's also going to speak to the whole body. I believe that. And in speaking to the body, he's going to be speaking to you individually as well. Okay? But also, remember too, this is not a one-time experience. This is a daily encountering of Jesus. So be a Forrest Gump, okay? You don't have to be smart. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't even have to be smart enough to know what's happening around you. You just need to be in the right place at the right time to encounter Jesus. And I want to give you one last thought. The importance of this daily encountering of Jesus. You know, Jesus only gave us one prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. Well, if you skip the day. Give us this day our daily bread. It's our daily bread, but it does come from God. You have to be rightly positioned to receive it. Okay? Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen.